Peace. Peace. He is not dead. He doth not sleep. He has awakened from the dreams of life. It's we that are lost in stormy visions and keep with phantoms an unprofitable strife. And in a mad trance we strike with a spirit's knife. Invulnerable nothing. We decay like corpses in the charnel. Fear and grief convulse us and consume us day by day. And cold hopes swarm like worms within our living clay. The one remains, the many change and pass. Heaven's light forever shines, earth's shadows fly. Life, like a dome of many colored glass, stains the white radiance of eternity until death tramples it to fragments. Die, and if thou wouldst be with that which thou dost seek, follow where all is fled.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Invisible College, my series of literature courses for paid subscribers. I'm your host, John Pistelli. You were just listening to Mick Jagger. That was Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones reading some lines from the climax of Percy Bysshe Shelley's Adonais, his elegy for John Keats, which we'll be discussing today. The occasion was the drowning of Brian Jones, a co-founder of the Rolling Stones. And so Mick Jagger read a piece of Adonais at a memorial for Mr. Jones, who had died in a similar way to Shelley's. Well, actually, Mr. Jones drowned in a swimming pool. I don't know the circumstances there. I can guess. Well, I don't want to slander the man. I suppose I could Google it. He died in a swimming pool. Hold on. Shelley, though, did not die in a swimming pool, as you're going to see, though he did drown. Let's see. Death. Oh, there's a whole long thing. Death by misadventure. His heart and liver were enlarged by past drug and alcohol abuse. Let's see. There's a murder theory. Something about drugs, etc. So my point is, in 1969, we have a poet, songwriter, guitarist, or I didn't actually take note of what instrument Mr. Jones played. We have a popular artist dying in a manner that recalls the death of Percy Bysshe Shelley, and we have Mick Jagger reading aloud Shelley's elegy for Keats. And it would be my contention, this is not actually going to be the thesis of the lecture here, because this isn't cultural studies, as I think I said in the introduction. I want to get more into the actual contents and conceptual and formal elements of the works themselves. But an overarching cultural thesis would be that it is works like Shelley's Adonais, his elegy for Keats, coming in the second generation of the Romantic movement we've been tracing, written when Shelley was unknown, when this model of poetry and of the poet was not yet hegemonic in the early 19th century, the kind of image of the poet maudit, to use a phrase coined in the week I'm lecturing, the tormented poet, the department of tormented poets, that was originally what they were going to call the MFA programs, that which is now gentrified, popularized, in a manner of speaking, banal, but that was new when Shelley was writing it, and somewhat confusing and controversial and not countenanced by the establishment with that it was confronted by. And so you go from Adonais in the 1820s to Mick Jagger in the 1960s is the process of that figure of the poet maudit, the tormented poet, the lost angel of a ruined paradise, which is in fact the name of this lecture, is on its way to becoming hegemonic by the 1960s and is now hegemonic or gentrified or banal. But I want to restore it to its original potency here in this lecture and see what we can do with it. So if you hadn't guessed, this is going to be a lecture on the life and work of Percy Bysshe Shelley. Hopefully more the work than the life, though it is tempting to simply talk biography, and we'll do a little of that. This is one of the more dramatic lives we'll be encountering. It's probably the most dramatic life we've encountered so far. I will talk a little about that. It's going to be hard not to. And what it means for the reception of, or the meaning of the work, because another thing you get here with the Romantics, particularly in Shelley, is the sense that the lyric poet's life is part of the poetry, or is the poetry, and you can't really discuss the work apart from the life. This is not something that had been quite as clear in a public and rhetorical neoclassical Augustan poet like, to use my old whipping boy, Alexander Pope. Okay, it's Shelley coming out of the revolutions initiated by Wordsworth and Coleridge that makes that, for better and for worse, a part of poetry. I think there is a for worse side to that. I think there is something where criticism becomes a species of gossip, where a kind of sordidness of the life becomes glamorized, etc. There is a for worse, but there's also a for better, which is the sense that we can all be, we can all sort of mythologize ourselves, we can all live our lives as a work of art. And I think that is, that too is something that has been more and more internalized to our culture, and maybe only comes to fruition with our move to the online world. So those are just a few scattered thoughts that I didn't prepare. Those are just a bit of a stream of consciousness rambling about the relevance of Shelley to the overall drift, the overall movement of our culture in the last two centuries, our, you know, Western culture or Anglophone culture. But That's again, not the main thing of this lecture. I think the problem with the cultural studies approach is you lose the thing it came from. You lose the root. You lose the base you launch that kind of speculation from if you don't ever go back and revisit. Well, what actually did Shelley say? What did Shelley write? Are we sure we know? Are we sure we're familiar with it? It just becomes a set of cliches or a set of received phrases. Well, Shelley's idealism, Shelley's view of the romantic genius and things like this. And you lose the particularity of what it was that Shelley was after. And you need to go back and look into those roots, because it's only by revising those roots that you can move forward a new way. If you have to move forward a new way, the only other option is just cutting off the past, as iconoclasm is year zero. And I think that presents too many disadvantages. I think it's better to reinvent the heritage we've been given rather than to consciously to reinvent it, because if we cut it off, if we get rid of it, if we lose it, we'll just repeat its errors unknowingly, because we won't even know what it was. So that's the whole view and form.